Hallelujah. Pretty much every week when we get up here to share our messages, between the worship time and the prayer time and the move of the Spirit, the message is sort of partly taught by the time we even get up here. So it's sort of cool to see that. And it happens every week. It's proof to me that there is one faith, one Spirit, one Lord. Because if we are all in one accord with Him, then the same message is going to be coming forth from whatever source you look. So, thank you, Lord, for that. Today I'm going to be issuing a challenge. You know, and if you've been paying attention, that New Covenant is in sort of a time of transition right now. In 2 weeks, we're going to be merging with Manassas Park Bible Church. We no longer have the biker church meeting here on Sunday afternoons. The Lord has healed old wounds. We've heard messages, and we all committed to forgetting the old things, the things of the past, and looking to what God has for us in the future. We are to forgive and forget these old things. And He's revealed prophetically that we are being prepared for something. We don't quite know yet what it is, but it's something pretty momentous. And I think it's going to be something that's momentous in this country, in this world, in this community, and that we are going to be a part of that, if only to be a place of refuge for people who are suffering because of whatever it is. There's just words that are coming forth right now in various ways, prophetically, that confirm that. Recently, I felt that the Lord was encouraging us through the words of Psalm 127. And in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Prophetically, it's clear that New Covenant is on the cusp of something wonderful. But this verse provides both guidance and a form of a warning. And this is what I want to talk about a little bit today. I want to share some thoughts on this. And as I mentioned, I'm going to be issuing a challenge to all of us. And we can see if we're up to that. So any construction job, if you've ever worked in that world, requires a foreman. And the psalmist in this case issued a warning that we labor in vain if we don't put God in charge of building the house. That's a warning. That's telling us we need to put the Lord in charge. Our plans are doomed to failure if we ignore what God is saying, what He's directing, what He's telling us. Recently, Jordan shared a message on giving God our very best. And he referenced Psalm 27, and he emphasized sort of one aspect of giving God our best. In Psalm 27, starting at verse 4, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." We just sang about the beauty of the Lord. And here we are talking about the house of the Lord. If we're going to build a house, unless the Lord builds the house. That's the title of the message, by the way. Unless the Lord builds the house. But Psalm 27 continues and says, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock," not on sand, on a rock, a solid, firm foundation. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, and I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. What did we just do? So God is already telling us to do these things. We are already starting to do these things. Jordan noted a couple weeks ago that there is no physical temple today. That was destroyed in 73 AD when the Romans came in and just sacked Jerusalem, and they knocked it down to the foundation stones. Patty and I got a chance to visit that archaeological site when we visited Israel one time, and you can see the piles of rubble outside of the Temple Mount, the Mount Moriah that is there. There's a stone platform on the top that's just flat rock right now. But there used to be a temple right there, and the Romans said, okay, you guys are going to revolt against us. We're going to take it out. And they did. And they dumped it over the side of the hill, and there's piles of rubble down there. And the archaeologists have been able to find all the pieces of that in piles. But it was taken down to nothing. There is no temple right now, a physical temple right now. But dwelling in the house of the Lord, as Jordan mentioned, is maintaining an attitude of worship, because we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be in an attitude of worship to be able to dwell in that house of the Lord, that new house of the Lord that's inside each one of us. And I would add to that that we also should be practicing daily the presence of God. And we've talked about that a number of times here, practicing the presence of God. Our motto is people of the presence of God. So let's go back to 127, Psalm 127 again. The Lord must be the focus and the source of that spirit of worship that we have, or we do it in vain. That's a part of it. God must lead our worship, our attitudes, our very lives. Praise God that Becca and our worship team do this so well. I mean, God's presence was here today. I've sensed over the last few weeks just a deeper level of praise and worship in our services. This is one indication of the Lord's influence here in this house right now. Worship from the very beginning of this congregation has been a foundation stone. More than 38 years we've been doing this. If he's deepening our sense of worship, what other aspects of New Covenant does he want to impact? How about our church governance? You should know from a few weeks ago when we talked about the history of the church and sort of the premises and the foundation stones of New Covenant that we are led by a plurality of elders. This is a very biblical New Testament governance model, and it's seen in most churches that were established under the book of Acts. If you read through the book of Acts, all the churches that they set up, they would put in place elders, plural, in each of those locations. They didn't set up a senior pastor in each one of them. They set up a body of elders that would then be responsible for keeping that congregation going and following the faith and listening and teaching. Paul and the others spread the gospel throughout the entire Roman world at that time with that model. For New Covenant, this takes the form of our pastoral fellowship. That's the word that we use to describe it. Know that we do have a senior pastor, Jesus Christ. He is our senior pastor. The rest of us are just co-workers with him, associate pastors, whatever you want to call us, pastor elders, we call them. But Jesus is Lord and Savior here. He is our senior pastor. He is the one that we all look to when we need guidance, when we have questions, when things come up and issues come up. He is the one that we turn to. You might note that he is a very qualified foreman because he was a trained carpenter. Did you ever think about that? He could build stuff. And so he is, in the physical realm, He was trained to build things. And in the spiritual realm, he is the source of things that we build. So what a perfect leader for us to grab onto and follow. So what's the challenge that I'm talking about? I'm talking about getting our house, this house, and our hearts in order, to get them aligned with Jesus Christ. How do we put this into practice? How do we do this? Last week, Butch spoke about a fear of the Lord. Now, this is not being fearful of God in the sense of being afraid of him, but it's rather having a deep and lasting reverence towards God. Something that, yes, we have a fellowship with him, but at the same time, he's God and we're not. And we need to never lose sight of that. That he is the Almighty God, the creator of everything. And yes, he allows us to come in. He welcomes us in as sons and daughters in the Spirit. But he is clearly in charge. We need to understand and appreciate all those awesome attributes that God has that make up who he is. There's two books that I've been reading. One is A.W. Tozier's The Knowledge of the Holy, and the other is John Bevere's The Fear of the Lord. That's the one that Butch mentioned that was recently given as a gift to each of the pastors. They both address the same thing, but from slightly different styles and different perspectives. They address the awesome nature of God. Tozier says in his book that we need to trust in God's wisdom, for example. We see evidence of it all around us, but we can never prove it. The evidence is in some ways circumstantial. We see the creation, we see the stars, we see the planets moving in perfect order, predictable order. It wasn't just random happenstance that the stars move through the heavens. It has a plan behind it. It has order behind it. It has perfect predictability behind it. But realize that we don't need to understand to believe. We need to believe to understand. Get it backwards. Don't get it backwards. If faith is proven, it passes from faith to knowledge. It's no longer faith. Yet people will still refuse to accept it, even in that case. Some will still demand a sign, sort of like when the Israelites were in the desert. And every day they'd go out and they'd gather the manna that God had given them the night before, overnight. And yet, despite the fact that they were being fed, millions of them were being fed every day by God's grace and God's provision, they still said, "How do we know he's still here? How do we know you've taken us through and you're going to let us die in the desert? We need a sign. We need a sign." How much of a sign do you need? Get with it, people. We all need a heart that is open to believe. We need a measure of faith. But remember, Romans 12 tells us, "For I say that though grace, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Every one of you has been dealt a measure of faith. It may only be a mustard seed's worth, but guess what? That's enough. I love the poster that, Bob, I think you sent that out. It showed a close-up of a fingertip, and on the fingertip was a tiny little seed. And it says, "Stand back, I've got a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it." It's awesome. It's awesome. Because that's all it takes, is a mustard seed of faith. That tiny smidgen of faith. And yet it is as powerful as the entire God of the universe. Because that's who that faith is in. It's not how much faith, it's who your faith is in. That's the important thing. And so if you even have a smidgen of it and it's in the right place, you've got it. You have enough. That's the message of faith. That's the message that we need to grab onto. Our hearts need to be in order in the knowledge that our righteousness is of the Lord and not our own strength or our own wisdom. Last time I spoke to you all, I said that New Covenant is not this building. It's not where we meet, but the people who meet here, the people who make up this body. That is New Covenant. That's why I believe so fervently in the vision statement that I alluded to before. It says, as a people of His presence, as a people of His presence, not as a temple where His presence is. It's as a people of His presence, we are committed to intimacy with God, with one another, and extending the kingdom of God on this earth. That's what we were singing about this morning. Intimacy with the Father. Intimacy with Jesus. And then because of that, we can have intimacy with each other because we are in one faith, one God, one Spirit. Unity within the Spirit is what God seeks for all of us. And when we do that, He is now free to build His kingdom. We unleash Him. We call upon Him. We allow Him to do it. And we just participate with Him. Notice that we are called a people. With emphasis first on the intimacy with God. And then we do that through practicing His presence. And then that intimacy flows through the rest of us and into the community around us. You can't help but do that. But this intimacy requires a right-mindedness, that our hearts be right with God. This follows from an appreciation of His full natures. That's why these books, The Fear of the Lord and Tozier's book, are so important, because to understand the fullness of all of the things that God has as part of His being, His nature, the more we can understand that, the more we can be open to be intimate with Him in a proper, appropriate way. Whether you're talking about His holiness, His sovereignty, His grace, His love, His mercy, His faithfulness, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His goodness, His wisdom. There's even more of them, more than I have time to go through today. That's going to be another whole series of messages, perhaps, that we'll get into at some point. But all of these things tell us that God is unique in the universe. There is none like Him. That's why the top prayer in all of Judaism, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, behold, Israel, listen, there is one God. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It means He's unique. There is nobody like Him at all. Not in any of those ways. So if each of us individually are able to grasp some of that and to appreciate and have this awe of the Lord God, we individually then can draw closer to God. Just as we were worshiping and praying today, and Becca so beautifully was calling us to do today, then we as a collective body, as New Covenant, can follow suit. We'll be ready to then hear and obey. Now that's another foundation stone of New Covenant since the very beginning. Hear and obey. Attune yourself to hear what God is telling us, and then attune your heart to be willing to obey. It's two parts to it. Hear with your ears, and obey with your heart. Not just with your mind, with your heart. You got to be committed to it. We need to have confidence in the wisdom of God. While our pastor elders bring a wealth of knowledge and spiritual maturity, a lot of us are sort of old, okay, been doing this for a while, but we are still but humble servants. in a very true sense of the word. We rely on our senior pastor, Jesus, for real wisdom and guidance, and he has promised to lead us. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, it says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. And sometimes we feel like we're blind, groping our way along, trying to find it, not fall into the pit. It says, I will lead them in paths they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them, and crooked paths straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. God promises that when we feel like it's the darkest, deepest night and we have no idea what's in front of us, he will make darkness into light and he will lead us on a straight path. That's quite a promise from the God of the universe who created everything, that he is willing to do that if you only ask. This is why when the Pastoral Fellowship meets every week, we are constantly seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit to make any decisions regarding New Covenant. Now, I know that some of you may be frustrated by that sometimes because it seems to take a while. And that's because sometimes it takes a while for God to answer. God always answers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's stand by, I'll get back to you. All of those are valid answers, and you just have to react accordingly. One of my favorite verses, and I've shared this many times, is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now, that one became really impactful to me when I was working in grad school and working on my PhD. So I was getting all kinds of book learning. I was learning all kinds of stuff, having to pass these general examinations and take them twice in most cases because I screwed them up the first time. Yep. But when you come through the other end of that, wow, I've got a thing after my name now I can put on my business cards and things like that. But that doesn't mean much anything. My wife tells me that PhD means piled higher and deeper. Maybe. But I had to learn when I became a born-again believer, right at the end of grad school, as a matter of fact, and that's another story, that it was not because of the book learning that I had, not because of the smarts that I had. Even when I went to Bible college later on and learned about the Holy Spirit and about John Wimber and John and healing and the gifts of the Spirit and the course that we now teach on prophetic ministry. Great, good stuff, but it's not what I've got. It's what God gives us. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The word that's translated be still uses a Hebrew word that implies cease work, stop, stop striving, let it go. When I talked the last time, I said, forget the things of the old. Lay them down and don't pick them up again. It's the same word. It's the same word. Be still and listen. Know that he is in charge, not us. So, this is sort of wraps up the guidance part of Psalm 127. This is where it comes into play. There's a warning. The first part was the way it's worded originally, sort of like a warning. It says, unless God does this, then you're going to work in vain. That's sort of a warning, okay? That's sort of a negative way of writing that. But let's turn that around the other way. And it says, if he is in charge, then we're not going to be working in vain. You're going to turn this negative way of saying it into something that's more positive. If he does build the house, then our efforts under his guidance will be fruitful. More importantly, no one will be able to take it down. Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. That's a pretty impressive promise there as well. That when we are in His will, when we are doing the things, when we are obedient to His word, obedient to His leadings in our lives, then no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and whatever anyone else out there might say against you, it will fall on deaf ears and it'll just fall to the ground. Because the Lord is greater than anything that is in this world. If we do this right, New Covenant can be built on that solid bedrock, not on shifting sands. And it'll survive whatever's going to happen, whatever this event is that God keeps sort of prompting us towards, to be ready, be prepared, stand by, something's going to happen. You guys be ready, be there, be in my presence, be ready to give that cup of cool water to somebody who's going to need it. Refresh yourselves. All these things that he's been saying, and by the way, the prophetic book that we had that we put together, it's on the back shelf now. We brought it back in so you can take a look at it. If you want to see the words that God has been giving to New Covenant since 2019 and earlier, there's a part of it that goes way back to the 1980s. There's words in there, and they have been consistently messages throughout. Be ready. You are an oasis for those who are hurting. You are going to be a people of my presence, and you will be reaching people who need to have that touch of God. If we do this, we will not suffer from the whims of, call it social experimentation, or the things, the foibles of the earth, the things that are happening around us. We're going to be in the middle of this, but we're going to be in the eye of the hurricane. There's a calm in the eye of the hurricane. It's swirling all around you. But in the middle, there is a point where there is some calm. And the good thing is that God will be released to work through us, because we are giving ourselves completely over to Him. Bob mentioned earlier, Moses wasn't willing to give everything up. He says, I gave you everything, Lord. And God says, no, you didn't. How about leadership, control? I'm in charge, not you. You may be Moses, but so what? I'm God. And you're not. It's never a bad idea to align ourselves with God's will for us, individually or as a corporate body. That's what it's all about. That's what He's calling us to do. How do we do that? Well, we do our due diligence, collect our data, make our plans, get all the words, get options together. But then, instead of just forging forth and doing what you want to do and what your brain is telling you is the right thing to do, we bring them to the Lord. Lay them at His feet and look with spiritual eyes open and hearts ready to move whatever direction He points. We need humble hearts to accept what He wants and leave behind our good ideas if that is what He asks us, in favor of God ideas that are His. We strive again to hear and obey. Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy on us. We are but servants. The Lord is our master, and we look to Him. You know, dogs can read body language really well. And I really love, Patty and I have been watching a series about England, and she's an Anglophile big time. But one of my favorite things is to watch when the shepherds are out there and they have those little black and white sheepdogs that are so well trained. And these dogs are watching the sheep, and completely circling the flock to make sure that they all stay together and they move away. But when the shepherd needs to move the flock that away, he'll just sort of gesture. It's not a big, hey, go this way, you know. No, it's just points. And the dogs know, and they react to it. And they can read his body language perfectly. And then they do it, and they make it all happen. That's how we need to be sheepdogs. We need to be sheepdogs for God and say, Lord, which way? And he'll say, oh, okay, we're good. We can do this. But we don't do it until he tells us to. Because otherwise you're going to be just working against each other. And it's going to be fruitless. And that's not what we want. We want to be fruitful. We sang this morning of building our lives on the firm foundation of God's love. Can we do that in all things? Can we have faith in God's faithfulness? One of those attributes of him that we need to understand more deeply. That's what my challenge is to you today. Can you open your heart to him? Can you open your ears to him to hear what he is telling us as we go through this time of change, as we go through this metamorphosis of what New Covenant might look like, where it might meet? Doesn't matter. We have the same purpose that we had from day one, and God is moving us more towards that every day. If we bring an idea, a plan, a thought to God, lay it down before him. And he points us, if he points us somewhere else, are we willing to make that turn and make that adjustment in our plan and make an adjustment in our own desires? Because what we desire is not what's going to make this congregation grow and move and be effective in the community. It's what God wants for us. And then we can just get in the way or we can help him. But it's his plan. It's his plan that we want to find. Are you willing to not consider the things of old, as we talked about in Isaiah, in favor of a new, better plan that's set forth by the Holy Spirit? That's part of this challenge. Are we willing to do that? Are we able to do that? Or are we so stuck in our ways and so stubborn that you can't change? My wife will tell you that I don't like change. Right? I think it's probably because of my West Point background. By the way, yesterday was West Point Founders Day. Right? 221 years of tradition unhampered by progress. That's what they like to say up there. Think about that for a second. Thomas Jefferson founded it in 1802. March 18th, 1802 was the foundation of West Point. But they don't change a lot. You know, they gradually do. You know, when I went back and taught there, it was different because, for one thing, they had females there. When I was there, it was all guys. And then they allowed the females to come in. And so I had female cadets and male cadets. And things continue to change. I'm going to be back up there in a couple weeks now for my 50th class reunion up there. And they're going to have a parade for us and all that, and we're going to be affiliated. It's the week that this class of 2023 graduates, and they're our 50-year affiliate class. And so we've been there all along. The day they arrived, we were there. We had reps there for my class. The day that they got their class rings, which is a big deal for a West Point guy. The day that they picked their branch assignments, infantry, armor, transportation corps, medical corps, whatever it happened to be. And the day that they graduate, we'll be there to give them their bars as new lieutenants. Even some of our guys donated their rings and they melt them down and they mixed it with the gold that made this new class's rings. And so they physically carry the tradition of that class moving forward. Made me feel old when I realized that when I graduated, it would have been the class of 1927 that did that for us. They didn't have the program at the time, and I said, that's old. And now I don't feel that old when I'm going up there in a couple of weeks. But the point is, change is not always a bad thing. So, We as a body of leaders right now are wrestling right now with where does God want us to go? You know, as I mentioned at the very beginning, we're in a different situation now as far as the rent. We don't have the churches that are paying the rent to us. And so we have to look at how do we financially keep this body afloat and so that we're going to be around to do the things that God wants. And we're looking at options right now. Next week, Pastor Bob's going to be providing some details on just what are those things that we're looking at right now. We want to be open with all of you so you know what we're thinking of. But in the meantime, my challenge to you is to seek the Lord. And if you see, if you hear, if he is speaking to you, dreams, visions, scripture verses, whatever it happens to be, let us know. Because we are actively seeking him right now. We want to have long-term stability here. We believe fervently that New Covenant has a future in God's master plan, and we want to be part of it. And so as we start moving forward and figuring out what it is that God's going to do, it's going to be some kind of new thing. We know that. He keeps telling us that. We just have to find out for sure what that new thing all means. Does it mean new people? I hope so. We had one here today. If you didn't get a chance to see her, she's a cutie. She really is. Is it a new place? We don't know. It might be. We've been in this place for many, many years. It was originally a gymnasium. If you didn't know that, there was a basketball court right in here and had the place to stick in the volleyball net as well. Had basketball hoops up on the side walls over here. And when we closed down that other part over there, made a big decision to come into here and be here. It was built out to be a worship center for us. Are we going to stay here? Maybe. We don't know. It depends on where God thinks we should be to be most effective. Where can we be that will make us financially solvent on the long term, make us stable in the long term so that we're going to be there for him when he needs us? That is our goal. That is our intention. And that's what the pastors are looking at right now. And so I ask all of you that if you get any urges from the Lord along those lines, please let us know. Because we're seeking his face right now on what to do with all of this. So I'm here to tell you today, just to wrap up, that as New Covenant turns this corner, we all need, all of us, not just the pastor elders, but all of us in the body, need to be acutely attuned to the leadings of the Lord. Many of you have been through the prophetic class where we teach you how to do that. We teach you how to listen to that still, small voice. It's sometimes not in the whirlwind. It's sometimes not in the lightning bolts and the thunder. Sometimes it's a whisper that's barely audible. It's just an urging of your spirit. Be open to that. Be attuned to that. Listen for that. Hear and obey. Know that your pastor elders are committed to that. And my prayer is that all of you will be as well. Pray with me. Lord God, we seek your face. In all these things, Lord God, we just pray for your wisdom, your guidance, your perfect will, your will, which is always perfect, but your will in our situation, Lord God, to be revealed. As we wrestle with these questions, Lord God, that are of this earth, we know, Lord God, that you are greater than any issues that might arise. That you have a plan for us that accounts for all of these things, that solves these things and puts us in the position where you want us to be, where we can be that well of living water to the needy community. We can spread your gospel message. We can minister to those who are hurting, minister to those who need rest. We prayed for those who even have trouble sleeping, Lord God. And I just pray that that continues, Lord, that we can minister to those people who need to rest in you. And that message will come forth, Lord God, like a clarion call, like the shofar on the wall, so that the watchmen are not watching in vain and the house is not being built in vain, Lord God, but you are the foreman, you are the guide, you are the one giving us direction, Lord God, and God, give us the ability to be obedient. Give us a willingness, Lord, to be obedient. And Lord, may your kingdom come on this earth, and may we be blessed by being some small part of that, Lord, in whatever way we can, because we are saying right now, Lord God, Hineni, here I am. Send me, Lord God. Use me, Lord God, in whatever way you see fit. Lord, you know our individual abilities. You will not ask us to do things that are beyond our abilities or our strengths, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And in that name, Lord God, the name of Jesus Christ, we lift this prayer to you. Amen.